Celtics Today continues from the Garden. It is the Celtics and the Houston Rockets. Man, this homestand went fast. Our conversation with the head coach brought to you by Star Markets. Just for you, digital app, earn rewards, and save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. We have a lot of things to get to. We've got the Friday game and sort of where that fit. Was it a carryover from Wednesday? We've got the potential return of Aaron Baines. We have a thing I want to talk about with Mike D'Antoni and innovation in coaching, the Rockets, the year Harden has had. But nothing is more important to me than this, which is why it has to go up front. I will be seated next to Brian Scalabrine today for 2.5 hours. You get special time with him before most of the games now. I did one game with him a couple of years ago, but not before his star really rose to what it is now, where he became the television personality that he is now. What is your best piece of advice you can offer me for the experience I'm about to have?
That's a great question. I don't really have a piece of advice. One of the things is I would just go with the flow. Now, Scal's really good. We all love Scal. He's good at the improv game. So I'd say play off him. All that preparation, throw that out. Let's just go.
I wasn't sure how to label the Friday game because we are, you know, I think everyone that talks about this team talks about, you know, getting to a level where you're comfortable going towards the playoffs and playing better and all the buzzwords we've used throughout the course of the week and connectivity and all those things. And I don't think that Friday night was a Picasso in any way, but there was an element where we talk about teams that are struggling to win, where you need to get some wins once in a while. And it felt like that was the kind of effort it was going to get you that win, it seemed like, no matter what it was going to take.
There's no question about it. Sometimes you just need to, you know, and we're doing a lot of good things, but we're doing it with a little bit more tension when you haven't won a game in a while. And so it's good to kind of get off the schneid, get a one. And, you know, we're going to have to play a lot better than we did Friday today.
Where does tension manifest itself? Because I thought particularly on Wednesday night there was that honey. It's so fascinating in a video game world where people, there's more and more, you know, video game, fantasy basketball, stats, and the non-human element on the external side. And then you see a team with so much talent or whatever it is, and you can tell when they've lost a couple of games.
Right.
And there was that uneasiness on Wednesday. Is it missed shots? Is it missed assignments? Where does that sort of tension manifest itself in a game?
No, I think that usually when you're alert, when you're urgent, you know, some would use the word desperate, right? I think desperate's fair. To win a game, then you usually don't make as many errors in what you're trying to accomplish in the controllables. But, you know, sometimes if things aren't going your way, shots become harder to make. And, you know, it's like there's a lid on there. And it's almost like a mentality, a mindset, and an attitude that you just got to say, hey, next one's going down. We're going to keep doing what we're doing. We believe in ourselves. We believe in what we're trying to accomplish. And go from there. But you have to earn that first and foremost with your effort and doing all those little things that we talked about early. And then if you do that enough of the time, you'll make enough shots, good things will happen, and hopefully that can start, you know, a brand new, you know, positive momentum.
There's been a lot of talk when you lose some games and a player is out, it puts more magnitude on the import, realistically or not, of his return. What determines... is it conditioning? What determines the availability, minutes, and how you work Aaron Baines back into what he was before the injury?
Well, if he's available, he won't be available for more than 15, 16 minutes today. And if he is available, then we will play him close to that and, you know, kind of go from there. But we need Baines. He may be a little bit rusty, whatever the case may be, but the only way to get out of that with the lack of practice time and the lack of time that we can have in the gym together right now is playing, and his energy will make up for some of that stuff.
All right, before we get to the Rockets and this fascinating season James Harden has had, which has overshadowed what is a really interesting team in a lot of ways, you came into the coaching profession at about the time Mike D'Antoni was running the Phoenix Suns, and, you know, the NBA, we often joke. Here's a joke you probably don't hear, because often a lot of us are kept out of, there's pregame shoot-arounds, right, before a game. Mm-hmm. So media has to, like, leave the Arena Bowl. And the joke we all tell to ourselves is, well, they're working on that new thing called the pick and roll. You know, it's a lot of secret plays, right, that are going on. There isn't a lot of innovation. But whatever innovation there is, he always seems to have been at the forefront of it.
Yeah, no, he's a thoughtful guy. I think that... you know, clearly the 7 seconds or less thing that they did in Phoenix was part of a brand of basketball that he grew to really believe in while he was in Europe. And, you know, I've said ever since I've been here that this game has become more like Europe, or at least the Europe that I'm aware of as far as watching games and watching different teams play every year. You know, more skilled, more shooters on the floor, spacing, the pace and space, the ball movement, all that stuff. And, you know, we obviously have a huge international influence. And, you know, as big as an influence as any of our players have had that are from all the different countries they're from, he, in his time over there as a player and coach, has just as big of an influence as anybody.
James Harden dominates the discussion about this team, and of course he should. It's one of the greatest offensive seasons probably in the history of the league. It's almost impossible to argue against that. But before we get to him and how on earth he's doing it, this is one of the most sneaky veteran-laden teams of young, you know, the not veterans who are 38 years old, but veterans really in that niche who sort of know how to play and can fill those spots. That when you're talking about a bench that has now Fareed and Nene playing together, it has a guy like Gerald who we all know very well. Austin Rivers is a young veteran. Eric Gordon's playing. This team has the kind of veteran depth that, to me, successful playoff teams have.
And Gary Clark's a 35-year-old in a 22-year-old's body.
Right.
He's just always been super mature and has been able to just blend right in. I just think that they've got a lot of depth. They've got a lot of experience. They have a lot of talent, and now they're healthy. And, you know, a good friend of mine and I were texting yesterday, and he said this is easily a 60-win team when healthy, and there's no doubt about it.
How is it possible in a league in which there's never been more of a premium on ball movement and movement in general, how is it possible that a guy who almost they used to say about the Green Bay Packers 50 years ago, there was the Green Bay before either one of us was born, they had the Green Bay Packers sweep, and you knew it was coming, but you couldn't stop it. And here is James Harden with these ridiculous numbers about unassisted shots that he's made. And yet everybody in the ballpark, for the most part, knows one of the two or three things that is coming, and you can't stop it.
Well, I think everybody gets focused on, too, like the step backs. And he went through a period where he just made those at an unbelievable rate, and then he missed 22 straight threes, you know, last week at one time. But he's going to keep shooting them. They're a high-volume shooting team in general. But the isolation is really tough to guard. The way they're spaced, the shooting they have on the floor, Capella's ability to catch a lob at 12 feet makes everybody pull in even more. And I think that Harden, you know, we can start out any number of ways talking about the great things he does, but number one is getting to the foul line. And because he's 87% from there, that's the highest efficiency shot he can play, other than an open layup. And ultimately, you've got to do a great job of trying to take all that everyone glorifies away without fouling him. You know, our players are all really alert to the step back and how he gets to it. But it's guarding it and not fouling him that makes it difficult.
You know what's coming with Harden. You know what's coming with Scal. It's kind of how it's the beginning and the end of this conversation. Two extraordinarily unique individuals.
I would say Scal's a little bit more unpredictable. I would say just as incredible, just as unique, but a little more unpredictable.
We're about to find out. Celtics and Rockets
next. And a little
next.
Less effective.
We'll find that out, too, on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.